Joe, before you're cleared, do you have a love for God?
Check.
Time for God?
Check.
Is your Bible open?
Check.
Do you have no distractions?
Check.
Well, Joe, we are cleared for takeoff.
Heaven, how might this be my story? Heaven, how very soon I'll be gone. Heaven, how to my mansion in glory. When you hear the trumpet sound, I'm heaven bound.
Cleared for Takeoff is a preparatory program for your faith journey. And now, here is your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and our program, Clear for Takeoff. This is Deacon Joe Montone. It's a privilege and a pleasure to be back here with you on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. This weekend's readings are from the sixth Sunday of Easter. Let's go to our checklist. Number one, my friends, do you have time for God this morning? Check. Is your heart open wide for God? Check. Is your Bible open? Check. And are you free of distractions? Check. If you've answered yes to these four questions, my friends, you and I are ready to engage in the Word of God. Let's go to our first reading from the book of Acts, chapter 8, verses 5 through 8, 14 to 17. And here it is. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed the Christ to them. With one accord, the crowds paid attention to what was said by Philip when they heard it and saw the signs he was doing. For unclean spirits, crying out in a loud voice, came out of many possessed people, and many paralyzed or crippled people were cured. There was great joy in that city. Now, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent them Peter and John, who went down and prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for it had not yet fallen upon any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit, the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the book of Acts this morning, my friends, we're given a great message about acceptance of the word of God. Once again, the word says, now when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent them Peter and John, who went down and prayed for them, that they may receive the Holy Spirit. And today, my brothers and sisters in Christ, there are many who do not accept the word of God. And right now, we're going to pray for those people. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, Father of all mankind, our eternal Father, we give you praise and thanks for this opportunity to come together as your sons and daughters, for we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank you for your blessings, for your graces, and for your presence in our lives, for without you, we are nothing. Father, we thank you for the great gift of faith that has truly brought us together today here at Holy Spirit Radio, and for the gift of time and good health that allow us to be here. Today, Father God, we ask that you lift up those people who lack acceptance of the Word of God, who ignore the Word of God, who push it away, who are reluctant to accept or submit to our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we ask that you circle them with people who love you, who know you, and who speak your word. We ask that these people will touch their hearts and minds and allow the Holy Spirit, my friends, to come to them. We ask through the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary that people throughout the world today will be touched by God Himself and will be open to the Word of God. And like those in Samaria who had accepted the Word of God, they too will receive the Holy Spirit. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's go to our second reading from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 to 18. And here it is. Beloved, sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. Always be ready to give an explanation to anyone who asks you for a reason for your hope. But do it with gentleness and reverence, keeping your conscience clear, so that when you are maligned, those who defame your good conduct in Christ may themselves be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that be the will of God, than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered for sins once, the righteous for the sake of the unrighteous, that he might lead you to God. Put to death in the flesh, he was brought to life in the Spirit. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in our second reading from 1 Peter, the word tells us to sanctify Christ as Lord in our hearts, to purify ourselves, to remain free of sin. And the word goes on to say, always be ready to give an explanation to anyone who asks you for a reason for your hope. What is the reason that you are hopeful, my friends? What is it that you are hoping for? We just celebrated Resurrection Day, Easter Sunday, and with the rising of our Lord Jesus Christ, he gives us hope and great vision into the future. He gives us comfort in knowing that he is there for us, giving us a pathway to heaven and to eternal life with our Father in heaven. And so, are you ready to give an explanation to anyone who asks you for a reason for your hope? Are you prepared, my friends? Have you planned ahead, prepared well for that question when it comes up? Why are you so hopeful? What is your reason for it? Why are you so joyful? I remember many years ago in training pilots over at Flight Safety International, we had some Asian students, and after about a week of training, there was a young lady from Asia who was one of my students, and she said to me at the lunch area, I said to her, how are you doing? My name was IT. I said, IT, how are you doing? She said, oh, very good, very good. And I said, how is your training going? She said, oh, it's going excellent, really well. And she says, I have a question for you. She said, where do you get your enthusiasm from? Where do you get your, you know, your ability to teach the way you teach? And I said, this is an opportunity to share the love of God and the word Jesus Christ with this young lady. And that's exactly what I did. Because I was faced with the question, where do you get your source of strength from? Your ability to teach, your hopefulness. And this is where I said to her, when you return back home, I want you to spend some time looking into the life of Jesus Christ and understand what that means to people throughout the world. And so it was a beautiful blessing. And when she left the training center a few weeks later, she came and she said goodbye. And she, you know, acknowledged what I had said on that day. So First Peter tells us, my friends, to always be ready, to be prepared, because you never know when we are going to be confronted by someone who's going to ask that question. And the Word of God goes on to say this, but do it with gentleness and reverence. So when we share the faith, are we approachable or are we unapproachable? Are we gentle and reverent? Do we have deep respect for God, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit? Or are we irreverent, bold, and angry? Do we offer, you know, a gentle way into a person's life as we share the faith? Are we accessing their lives in the right manner? Or are they pushing us away because we're coming on too strong? First Peter tells us to do it with gentleness and reverence. Take a look at yourself, my friends. Who are you? What kind of style do you use in sharing the faith? And can we improve on it? What is your success rate in sharing the faith? Do people close the door on you? I remember a young lady who was married to a friend of mine. They had invited me over for dinner, and we shared a lot of spirituality. And in the end, this young lady had said to me, you know, you're like an overdose of spirituality. But I tell you, she was one of those who was reluctant to embrace and accept the Word of God. They had great division in their home. Her husband was in our prayer group, but she was not. She was unwilling to submit to Jesus Christ, unwilling to embrace the Word of God. And within a short time, maybe a year or two, she died and her life ended. And he went on to remarry and to continue following the Word of God and Jesus Christ. And God brought him a new wife with the same spirituality to enjoy and to share. And it was a real eye-opener for me. The Word goes on to say, it is better to suffer for doing good, if that be the will of God, than for doing evil. God calls us, my friends, to suffer and to follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, who suffered a great way and a great deal for us. And again, he says it is better to suffer for doing good, if that be the will of God. So the will of God, what God says to do and not to do, is his will. And we have to make a decision to line up with what God says to do every day and to avoid what he says not to do. If we look at the commandments, there are, you know, 10 commandments which highlight things that God says to do and what he says not to do. Honor your mother and your father. Keep holy the Sabbath day. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not commit adultery. Many years ago, God truly provided a different way of looking at the commandments. referring to them as what God says to do and what he says not to do. While working in prison with 30 men, this was a revelation for me, and we used it for years working in the Philadelphia Department of Prisons. What God says to do and not to do is paramount. It's imperative that we acknowledge it, we understand it, and we live it out, or the consequences of being disobedient are very great. Because God says, once you know what you know, it will be better for you never to have known my word than to know my word and to go the opposite way. The consequences are much greater. So we have to be careful. And in 1 Peter, we're given a great message, once again, about suffering, if that be the will of God. So the will of God is whatever God tells us to do or not to do within the Bible. And so, you know, are you and I lined up with what God says to do and what he says not to do? Or are we engaging in things that he says not to do instead of avoiding them? We have to be careful, my friends, because we are truly in a position where, you know, we know the word of God by studying the word, sharing the word, reading the word, loving the word, living it out. And so we have to be careful about going the opposite way. Once again, you know, God is a God of justice. He will discipline us. And God says that, you know, divine anger only lasts a moment. Divine favor lasts a lifetime. And that's the side of the equation we truly want to be on. Let's go to our gospel reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 15 to 21. And here it is. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you always, the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot accept, because it neither sees nor knows him. But you know him, because he remains with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live and you will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me. And whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, in the Gospel of John, Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Once again, if we love Jesus, it is a pathway to upholding the commandments. And once again, what God says to do and not to do are within each of the commandments. So how much love do you and I truly have for Jesus? How much love do we have? Is it abstract? Can we call it specific? Is it in word and action? Are we expressing our love for Jesus to other people? What do you think, my friends? Be objective and think about yourself. Where are you standing today in terms of loving Jesus? Actions speak louder than words. Many people talk a great game, but God calls for action, to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. And it's powerful. The word of God says this: He will give you another advocate to be with you always, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot accept because it neither sees nor knows him. So now, my friends, let us pray for the world and for those in the world who cannot accept the Spirit of truth because they do not know Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father God, we ask you to lift up those people who cannot accept the Spirit of truth, cannot accept the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Those who cannot accept the word God, the agnostics, the atheists, the liberal entities out there who are fighting for independence and rights that have nothing to do with what God says to do, but everything to do with what he says not to do. We ask, Father God, that you take care of this problem, that you address it in your time and in your way. We ask with a loving touch, with great sincerity, deep respect, that you would care for all human beings in the same way. But as this is such an issue, because people will not accept the Spirit of truth, the Word of God, the person himself, Jesus Christ, we put this issue into your hands and we ask that you take care of it. Once again, in your time and in your way, may your will be done. We ask this through the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary and Saint Joseph and through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Word of God says this, my friends. Jesus said, "Whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me. And whoever loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and reveal myself to him." So I ask you the question, do you and I truly love Jesus? Do we understand the benefits of loving Jesus properly? That our Father in heaven will love us even more. Jesus says, "Whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him." Has the Lord revealed himself to you in any ways? Has your life changed as a result of knowing Jesus Christ? I want you to take this seriously, my friends, and for you and I today, make a commitment to engaging in the Word of God more and more. Showing Jesus in our words and actions that we truly love him. Being more obedient versus disobedient. Being more reverent versus irreverent. Doing whatever we can, my friends, to get closer to Jesus Christ in a personal relationship. Again, the Lord says, "No one comes to the Father except through me." And here he tells us, if we love him, we will be loved by his Father. And Jesus will love you and reveal himself to you. What a beautiful thing it would be for the Lord Jesus Christ to reveal himself to you and to me. As a result of our commitment to the Lord and his Father, our commitment to doing what's right in the eyes of God, not in the eyes of the world or corporate America or government, but in the eyes of God, we're doing the right thing. And God calls us to do this. This is our calling. He says, whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me. And Moses received those commandments on Mount Sinai. One of the great blessings we have from Moses is we are recipients of the Ten Commandments. We are recipients of the basic instructions before leaving earth. We are recipients of the love of God through the Word of God. Recipients of our Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest gift that God has ever given to the world, his only Son, who died and rose from the dead, giving us access to eternity with our Father in heaven. So I ask you the question once again, do you truly love Jesus Christ? Or is it just something nice to say in the company of other people? Can we back it up with our actions? What do you think, my friends? Where do you stand on your love for Jesus? Today I ask you to take yourself to a higher level. Through prayer and acknowledging the Word of God. Once again, what God says to do here in the Gospel of John, taking ourselves to a higher standard and to truly observe the commandments that Jesus calls us to observe. And with this, we receive the blessings of obedience that once again Moses defines in the book of Deuteronomy. What a beautiful thing to be a recipient of the blessings because of our obedience to the commandments. God will love us and take care of us. He will give us children, set us apart on our own land, our own home. He will protect us from our enemies. Blessings of obedience are very significant. And we need to acknowledge, my friends, that the Lord Jesus Christ and our Father in heaven love us so much that when we are obedient to them, the blessings can and will be there for us. That's our show for today. My name is Deacon Joe Montone. May God bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have a great day. God bless you. We'll see you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio and clear for takeoff. God bless.
You have been listening to Cleared for Takeoff with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, a weekly preparatory program for your faith journey.